to be in God's house with you. I'm very pleased to welcome some friends and family to worship and some worship guests. We're pleased that you are here and that we can share the good news of Jesus with you today. Before we start, there is an announcement in the weekly news. Some of you saw it on Facebook, or if you get the main page, that Mr. Bauer received a call to Stillwater, Minnesota, to teach there. And so I would like to pray for him during the prayer of the church, so I thought I would share that with you now so that you weren't caught off guard before the prayer. So remember Mr. Bauer in your thoughts and your prayers. He's down south with the basketball team, and so they'll be back later tonight. So he might address you a week from today. Somebody quipped in the office that this week at St. Mark's, we're going from friendship to enemies. Last week was a great celebration of love and friendship, the chance to pray for our friends and family. Well, today that same encouragement is extended by Jesus, and in fact, it's a command to not just love our friends, not just to love our neighbors, but also to love our enemies. And if you're anything like me, that doesn't always sit very well with you. Nonetheless, it's an encouragement from our Savior Jesus, and I look forward to sharing it with you, and I look forward to connecting to you to the only power that can do anything about our thoughts about our enemies. That is Jesus' unconditional, full and free love for us. So may God bless us in our time in his house and in his word and in his sacrament today to give us the strength to love even our enemies. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you in the worship booklet. If you didn't get one on the way in, now's a good time to get the attention of the ushers, and they'll make sure that you have one for worship. We open with our opening hymn, hymn 237.
Thank you.
Our service continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, keep your family, the church, always faithful to you, that we may lean on the hope of your promises and be strong in the power of your love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Leviticus chapter 19. Here God is reminding his people that it is his will for them that they be holy, that they be perfect, especially as they interacted with one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. This was a section of scripture that the people are going to be misquoting later on. We'll talk about that in the sermon. Note that at no time does Jesus ever say it's okay to hate anyone. It's certainly not okay to hate your neighbor, definitely not okay to hate your enemy. But still, God's people found a way to weave that into God's will for their lives. So we listen to God tell us what his will is for us. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. The psalm for the day is Psalm 103 on page 6 and 7. We sing it according to the directions on page 6.
I will hear what the Lord proclaims.
Children,
so the Lord has compassion.
If God's command to love your enemies sounds foreign to you and to what you hear out there, that's a really good thing. Because as St. Paul reminds us that living for God is complete foolishness. Trusting that a man who died for your sins 2,000 years ago does anything for you today is complete foolishness. But St. Paul calls that wisdom from God. Wisdom we only know by the gift of the Holy Spirit. So praise God that this is a completely foreign message to the world. But still, it is your God's message to you. It is my God's message to me. And we thank God for that. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we go? Lord, 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 to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go?
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5. This is the lesson on which the sermon is based this morning. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is the gospel of the Lord. We witness together by confessing our faith together. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed there on the bottom of page 8 in the worship booklet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. The hymn of the day for this morning is hymn 496. Please take special notice as the melody is introduced. We don't sing this one very often. And please also notice that our cantor will introduce the hymn by singing the first stanza. We will join in the rest of the stanzas. Hymn 496.
Glorious in majesty, holy in his praises, Jesus, our Savior and our King. Born a man, yet God of old, let us all adore him. Filled with his Spirit, let us sing. Living is to love him, serving him to know his freedom. Come along with us to join the praise of Jesus. Come to Jesus now, go to live his word rejoicing.
Thank you.
of him who lives to be your perfection,
to present you as perfect and holy before your God, your Savior, in the name of Jesus. Would you say that the phrase words to live by is pretty subjective? You know, depending on how you use it, whether it's how you make your coffee or how you go house shopping or where you like to park at the mall or how you like to cook or how you like to grill, words to live by, pretty subjective stuff. And don't you think it changes too depending on where you are in life? Maybe think back 10, 20, 30 years. Words that you live by today are probably not the same words that you lived by 10, 20, 30 years ago. Certainly not when you were 2, when the words you lived by were no and mine. But words to live by, we all embrace them at different times. And unfortunately, religion is not immune to the subjective words to live by. That's the situation which Jesus found himself when he was preaching the sermon that he was preaching in Matthew chapter 5. There were people who were throwing out words to live by, and there was just enough truth in them, just enough scriptural-sounding refrains in them that some people thought, you know, this is words to live by, whether they were their words or Jesus' words or someone else's words. And so as part of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes some time to distinguish between their words and his words and God's word. And hopefully by taking a look at how Jesus dealt with them, we can see how Jesus also deals with us so that our words to live by line up with his words to live by so that we can be happy, so that we can be blessed, and that we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters, even our enemies. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." You know, they were living in a time when they knew that there was a little bit of love your neighbor out there, but then they also knew that was in the Old Testament, and they also thought, well, God surely doesn't want us to love our enemies. And so they said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies." Well, you could spend from now till tomorrow to the next day to a year from now digging through your Old Testament, and you're never going to find God telling you to hate anyone. Definitely not hate your enemies. But that was their words. There, some of you are saying, hate your enemies. Whoever exactly said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, it's not exactly clear, but these were the religious teachers, the Pharisees, and they were telling people, it's okay for you to hate your enemies. Here's another little bit of flavor of their words. "You have heard that it was said," Jesus said, "eye for eye and tooth for tooth." And now let me translate for you what they were saying. They weren't saying, boy, we should all be honoring God's word in how we live and what we say and what we do. What they were saying was, if someone has done something wrong to you, it's okay to do something wrong back. You don't have to love that person because that person is now your enemy. And God said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You know, never mind that God put that law in the Old Testament, eye for eye, really to take care of the one who did something wrong in the first place, so that you didn't come back and hammer him 2, 3, 4 times harder than he hammered you, that you didn't dish out something worse than what even the Old Testament law required be done to him and be done for you. So Jesus, God, was actually taking care of people with eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but they took it and they ran with it, and Jesus said, "You've heard eye for eye and tooth for tooth." Those were their words. Jesus' words are quite different. "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." How well do Jesus' words line up with their words? And how well do Jesus' words line up with their words today? I think people are okay with that love your neighbor, right? Love your friends. They're okay with love your enemies as long as there's a qualifier in there. It's the enemies that I enjoy being around, or the enemies that aren't so bad, or the enemies that really haven't hurt me too badly. But Jesus doesn't leave room for any of that, does he? In fact, he's really calling them out on some of their qualifiers. They would say, well, Jesus, you don't really expect me to love somebody who sues me. And then do you really want me to give them my cloak on top of that? And you know what really would have frosted these guys? Under Roman law, the soldiers, they could stop you at any time and make you carry their stuff for up to a mile. And certainly that's an enemy, not just because it's hard work, but because that's a direct insult to you. It's a reminder that you are under Rome. Rome owns you. And Jesus says, go ahead and carry it an additional mile. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet your brothers, what are they doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Did you hear what Jesus just called them? Jesus just called them pagans and tax collectors. For the way that they were listening to their word over God's word. Jesus said, that's not how children of God live. That's not how you live according to your Father's will. And when you choose to live according to their words, you give up your status as children in God's family. And what was to be their motivation? It was a command to be perfect. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, Jesus said. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's how children of God live. You know, stop and think, did God have to make it rain on the Roman soldiers too? And on their wheat fields back in Rome? No, God didn't have to do that. Does God have to let the sun shine on your enemies and let them benefit from all the healing qualities of the sun and let the sun give them life and cause their grain fields to grow too and their figs to ripen? God doesn't have to do that, but he does equally to your friends, to your enemies, on the Romans, to the one who's suing you, to the one who slaps you on the face to insult you. Those are Jesus' words to live by. Love even your enemy. So now we've talked about their words. We've talked about Jesus' words. Now the hard part is, where do you line up? Where do your words to live by line up? Probably more importantly, where does your life and where do your actions line up? You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Amen. Right? We line up with that. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Exactly. And it's all fine and good until you stop and think just exactly what Jesus is telling us to do. If someone wrongs you, if someone sues you, he wants you to love that person. Right? If someone backhands you and insults you, physically disrespects you, give him the other cheek too. Love him and forgive him. If someone insults you, insults your God and persecutes you, makes your life miserable because you're a Christian, wishes you harm, and does you evil, Jesus says, love even your enemy. And I'm not talking about how you measure up with Jesus' words with all of your qualifiers, right? Well, yeah, but this person is okay. And this enemy is not that bad. And the world tells me I don't have to love this person. And this is a religious person. This is a religious dispute. So I'm exempt from that too, right, Jesus? Jesus says, love your enemies. And this lined up with our first lesson for today from Leviticus 19. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. He couldn't really ever expect us to do that, could he? Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And before we start to think, well, that's just what they said in the Old Testament, and that's not really how it is today. Jesus says, in almost direct quotation, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. love your enemies the way that God loved your enemies? If the sun shines on someone, God wants you to love that person as your brother. If it rains on that person's house, if that person gets wet in the rain, God expects me to love him, forgive her unconditionally. Yeah, unconditionally love your neighbor, even your enemy. You know, we took a long look at this in our pastor's study group this week. And we kind of thought, you know, this is not Jesus really telling us how to live. He's not giving us specific examples of how to go and love our enemies and love our neighbor. Isn't this really Jesus showing you and me and convicting us that we don't do this? Isn't that really what they needed to hear back then? And isn't that what we need to hear right now? Enough with the qualifiers. Forget about who has done what to you. It doesn't matter what somebody has said to you or done to you or what someone thinks about you or how someone has insulted your dog or someone has insulted your God. It does not matter. Jesus' point is these people were not doing that. And his point today is you and I are not doing this either. And I would love to get on board with all of your qualifiers. And I would love to share in all of your excuses, and I would probably take some from you too. But the point Jesus is making is when we fail to love our brother, we are putting ourselves outside of God's family. Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And over again, we make excuses. And over again, we build up ourselves. And over again, we build up one another. And we support each other in our hate and in our grudges and in our lack to forgive and in our lack to love. And Jesus said, you're not building up my family when you do that. You're not bringing each other closer to me. In fact, aren't you putting yourselves outside of my family? That's what God said to his people in the Old Testament. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. It's not a shortcoming on God's part, is it? Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood and your fingers with guilt. You know, why would God ever say that? Why would God ever take us through this difficult exercise this morning in convicting us of failing to love our neighbor, love our enemies? Because he loves you with an everlasting love. And because he wants you in his family now. And he wants you to be a blessing to one another. And he wants you in heaven with him forever. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, St. Paul wrote in Romans 5. Though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Right there is our forgiveness, isn't it? That there are no qualifiers on God's love for you. There are no stars behind any of your sins or behind any of my guilt. Jesus died for all of it, to pay for all of our sins. And didn't Jesus perfectly love his enemies for us because we never could? Didn't he do that throughout his whole ministry? And I'll tell you, every one of the guys that I was studying this gospel with on Monday morning, we were just floored all over again that from the cross, Jesus would say this. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And right there is where you and I have perfect and full and free forgiveness. Right there, that's the love and perfection with which you and I are clothed through Jesus right now. And that's why God is going to let you into heaven someday. Because we are clothed with Christ's righteousness. I like these words from Galatians. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Not because of what you've done, not because you're so good at loving your neighbor, but because Jesus loves you. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of us who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So having been fully and freely loved by Jesus, even when we were his enemies, that's where we have a whole new take on these words. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Are you and I his children? Yes. And as his children, does he give us guidance? Yeah. And does he give us strength and encouragement to live according to his will? And does he pick us up and love us and forgive us when we fail? Absolutely he does. And right there is our motivation to go and love our neighbor, probably even especially our enemy. Because what happens when you do? What happens when you do is you open a door, a tiny little door, a tiny glimpse into God's love for that person. Where just as God fully and freely loved you, so you get to be loving and kind to someone else, and you never know when that little door might open the door to God's love. Because how badly is your enemy hurting? How much does your enemy need Jesus' love for him or for her? The same way that you do. And you know, that's where the encouragement stops, because this lesson, this is not a checklist to say, boy, if you can love this person, you don't have to love that person. And Jesus is talking about the poor and giving up clothes, so that's all I have to do. That's not what this is about. It's look at what we get to do. We get to love the way God loved us first, so that when the opportunity presents itself, that you are ready and that you are willing to love your neighbor as God has loved your neighbor. These are words to live by, not just now, but these are words to live by because they give life, life now and life forever with God in heaven. So may Jesus bless you as you do something foolish. Trust him enough to live for him, to love for him, and love even your enemies. And may God bless you and your enemies as you do. Amen. Please stand. We join together to ask a blessing upon the word of God that we have heard today. We do so with the song, Create in Me, on the top of page 10 in the worship booklet. Please be seated as we collect our offerings and present them before our God.
our prayer of the church this morning, we've been asked to remember the family of David Payne. David Payne was a friend and co-worker of Steve Ennis. David passed away unexpectedly this past Thursday. We'll ask God to be with David's family. We've also been asked to ask that God would remember our basketball players and Mr. Bauer and the coaching staff and the parents who are traveling back from Southern California, home from the basketball tournament. Pray that God keeps them safe as they travel back, probably in the rain. We will continue to remember President Zarling and Martin Luther College in our prayers, and we will remember Mr. Bauer in our prayers as he deliberates the call that was extended to him to Stillwater, Minnesota. Let us pray. O Lord, you are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Yet we struggle to be faithful in our thoughts, words, and actions. Please make us always aware of our sinful desires and actions and lead us to repentance. Show us that in Christ you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Send upon us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that as you sow the seed of your word in us, we may receive it and keep it and bring forth fruits of righteousness. We ask that you save and defend your church from evil and grant to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries faithfulness to your truth, diligence in their labors, patience in their sufferings, and the blessed hope of eternal life. Bless them that their work may prosper in the harvest of many souls. Guard them by your power from all perils of body and soul as they serve you. We ask that you continue to bless our homes, dear Lord, and make them dwelling places where Christ is honored in the teaching and love of parents and in the obedience of children. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your mercy upon the sick. We ask that you comfort the sorrowing, be with the lonely, strengthen the aged, and to any who are in great perplexity or anxiety, temptation or trial, give faith in your power and mercy, and lead them to see that the grace of Christ is sufficient for any and all adversity. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we commit to your care the family of David Payne. Help them to remember that your love has overcome all things and that you speak tenderly to those who are mourning. Please be with David's friends and family and bless them as they mourn. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to entrust our loved ones and our friends and family to you, especially when we have no control over where they are or what they're doing or what they're going through. So we ask that you would be with our basketball teams as they travel home. If they experience inclement weather, we ask that you keep them safe. Please bless them, bless the drivers, that they may bring their children home safely. We thank you for their opportunity to go down and to enjoy some time away and to represent us, our school, and more importantly, to represent you. Please bless them and all the teams as they travel home from their tournament. Dear Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to train future pastors and teachers, staff ministers, and early childhood educators to work in your kingdom. We thank you for the partnership we have with Martin Luther College. We thank you for the blessing that President Zarling is to that school. We ask that you continue to bless it through his faithful labors. We ask that you be with President Zarling as he deliberates the call that we extended to him. May he make a decision that glorifies you and will benefit your kingdom. We also ask that your spirit of wisdom be upon Mr. Bauer. We ask that you would help him to remember that we appreciate everything he does for us. Help him also to see the great privilege that has been extended to him through this call. We ask that you bless him as he deliberates. Please be with our brothers and sisters in Stillwater to give them patience as they await a new principal for their school. Finally, dear Heavenly Father, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom, and help us receive the goal of our faith, that is, the salvation of our souls. We ask this in Jesus' name. Also, we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. At this time, we invite to Holy Communion the adult confirmed members of St. Mark's and our worship guests who have previously spoken with me. If you are not currently a member of St. Mark's but would like to commune here in the future, please speak with me at a time that works well for you. I'd be happy to further explain our communion practice and begin working toward membership here at St. Mark's. Our worship continues with our preparation to receive the sacrament on the middle of page 11 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
We ask that the Lord sends us on our way with his blessing, having been assured of his love for us in his word as well as through the sacrament. We sing that blessing with the Song of Simeon on page 14. Please stand. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with your holy word and with this holy supper. We pray that through these means you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 570. Good morning. Again, may you find comfort in the fact that Jesus not only calls you friends, but he calls you his family now and forever. And may that good news speed you to go out and love your neighbor, even your enemies. Please do take a look at the weekly news if you didn't get it emailed to you. If you would like it emailed, just get in contact with the church office and we'll make sure that you get an electronic copy. But take a look at these. There is still the letter from President Mark Zarling, if you haven't read that yet. There's a very brief paragraph from Mr. Bauer about his call, and perhaps he'll share a little bit more with us next Sunday. I am not limiting President Zarling to anything, but he was hoping to have a decision this week, if you look at the wording from the letter that he sent. So perhaps we can expect a decision from him. If not, continue to remember him and St. Mark's and Martin Luther College in your prayers. Also, for Bible study this morning, David Matthews is not able to teach today, and the subs are here, there, and everywhere. So you are invited to come to the sanctuary. We have good standalone lessons from James this week is what is that relationship between faith and deeds? We've kind of been talking about that, but today we really hit it head on. So faith and deeds, what are they? What are they not? How do they go together? And we'll have that Bible study in the sanctuary this morning. So I invite you to stick around for that. Thank you for being here this morning. I enjoyed worshiping with you, singing with you, and praying with you today. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out. And then I'll see you in the lobby and then at Bible study, 9:30 in the sanctuary.